up and a shout of praise to me. Shake someone's hands and welcome them to the presence of the Lord as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Father, we worship you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. Hallelujah. We have been having such a great time in the presence of the Lord. In the series we've been on, the knowledge series. It's knowledge and wisdom, but we eventually spend the time dealing with knowledge. Tonight is the second part of the subject, Know Your Friends. By way of objective, last week, we are understanding the necessity of knowing our friends, understanding who true friends are. We understood key thoughts about friendship, want to understand counterfeit friends, understand the workmanship of friendship, and then understand what to do with enemies, or in fact, counterfeit friends. I want us to go briefly over who true friends are. Who do you call a friend? First, we said a friend is a companion who is at home in your company. A friend is one who goes with you on an important life's journey. A friend is one who can be entrusted with confidential assignments of your life. That a friend is one with whom you can speak closely, comfortably, intimately, and harmoniously. That a friend is one with whom you can speak sincerely, openly, and frankly, without pretense or deception. Six, we said a friend is one who is as your own soul to you. You literally treat him as you will treat yourself. A friend is one who is quick to arrive and surround you in seasons of challenge and adversity. A friend is one who cooperates with you to frustrate the agenda of the enemy and his agents against your life. The friend is one who makes your burden their burden. Your concern is their concern. Your pain is their pain. It will make them fast and pray for you to rescue you. Number 10, a friend is one who is trusted. You have confidence in his reliability and faithfulness. 11, a friend is one who loves you at all times. He loves you through all the seasons of your life. Some love you because good times are good. A friend loves you at all times. 12, we said a friend is one who is friendly with you and not hostile to you. A friend is one who may hurt you to save or deliver you, but the enemy will hail you to ruin you. A friend is one who is committed to giving you hearty counsels from his heart. Counsels from the heart. That's number 14. Number 15, a friend is one who is committed to the sharpening of your life's gifts and potentials. He wants the best out of you. Number 16, a friend is one in whose company you are free to celebrate, free to eat and drink. And then 17, a friend is one who is truly excited at your progress and success in life. A friend is one who defends your interests and concerns at all the seasons of your life, whether you are there or not. A friend is one who does not work in concert with your enemies to undermine your life, your destiny, or your authority. He's not in collaboration with your enemies to undermine you. 20, a friend is one who cares enough to attempt to save your life when they think you are going overboard, when they think you are doing something too much. 21, a friend is one who multiplies your joy and diminishes your sorrow. And 22, a friend is one who shares your interests, your conviction, and your character. From what we can see, Real friends are very few, but they exist. They are very, very few, but they exist. I am going to proceed this evening on the workmanship of friendship before we go into counterfeit friends and so on. We are going to look at the workmanship of friendship. What do you do to service true friendship? What do you do to service true relationship? What do you do to have and then to maintain friendship? Without any doubt, it goes without saying that relationship requires workmanship. Friendship requires workmanship. That is, if you are to have friends, you work on it. Relationship between the husband and wife requires workmanship. You work on it. So, number one, what do you do to service true relationship or true friendship? Number one, you must be friendly. To have and maintain friendship, maintain friends, you must be friendly. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, he said, a man that will have, that has friends, must show himself friendly. You must be friendly means you must be goodly and nicely disposed. Goodly and nicely disposed. You must be a good companion to be around with. To be a friend, you must be someone that somebody wants to be around with. You must refuse to be a human burden or human concern. Someone that people want to run from. There are human beings who have made themselves such that when you come around them, you want to run. To have friends and maintain friends, you must be friendly. Number two, you must have accommodation for others in your life. You must have accommodation for others in your life. All I'm saying is, what does it take to have friends and to maintain friends? And I am talking of also the husband and wife relationship. You must have accommodation for others in your life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You must have accommodation for others in your life. You must avoid the life that is self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed. Everything is all about you. Self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed. I told you the story of marriage my wife attended many years ago. Young, fine lady, young, fine man. Marriage lasted for only 7 days. The woman came, locked herself up in the room. And by the time she was out of the room, the marriage was over. Self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed. Whenever you are full of yourself, be sure that you will be empty of people. When what matters to you is what matters to you, and what matters to others don't matter to you, you will be empty of people. To have and to maintain friends, you must have accommodation for others in your life. Number three, to have and to maintain friends, number three, you must be generous. A generous giver. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6. When I say generous, some people are thinking maybe I am talking about money. Can you do 19:6? Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. To him that giveth gifts, him that giveth gifts never lacks friends. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 26, one day Samuel came back, David came back from war. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. He sent gifts to his friends. When I say be a generous giver, it is not all giving that is cash. There are givings that are kind. A kind affirmation. Be generous in affirmation. You are looking nice. You are looking sharp. You are so bright. Be kind. Be generous in affirmation. Be generous in commendation. Commendation. Be generous in counsel, in advice. Be generous in paying compliments. Very, very important. You must be generous. Number four, to have friends and to maintain friends or relationship, you must be sensitive to the needs of others. Sensitive. You have eyes that see, ears that hear or listen, and a heart that feels. You must be sensitive to the needs of others. You must have eyes that see, ears that hear, a heart that feels. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 to 8, when Joseph entered into the prison, he saw that the people were looking sad. He saw it. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and in verse 15, Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwell by the river of Chiba, and I sat where they sat. You see, love, compassion, empathy, fuel friendship. Love, compassion, empathy, they are the fuel for relationship. Whether it's relationship between husband and wife, or the friendship of a man and his friend, love, compassion, empathy, they fuel relationship. When you feel what people feel, when you are touched by what touches them, your relationship is strengthened. You saw someone and it's looking sad, no comment. It's looking duller than usual, no comment. And it's your friend. There are people who just get so petty and say, why are you angry at me? Did I do you anything? Meanwhile, the person just got the news from home. Or maybe the mother has a challenge or something. And the problem has nothing to do with you. It's trying to resolve something within themselves. And you are thinking of yourself, not them. Instead of saying, are you okay? Is everything okay with you? Is there something you want us to pray about? You just start ranting. Why are you frowning for me? Is it because you saw me? Okay, bye, see you later. That's how self-centered people are. Meanwhile, the person was looking for somebody to share a burden with, and this one has turned back thinking only of himself. Madam, why are you not greeting me this morning? Husband is talking to wife, and vice versa. But this person is looking to be relieved. To have and maintain friends, you must be sensitive. That is why friendship doesn't last for most people for too long. Because they don't know what it takes to service relationship. They don't know the workmanship of friendship. Number five. To have and to maintain friends, number five, there must be pureness. There must be the pureness of heart. Pureness of heart. That is, you are real and sincere. Not crooked and insincere to the person you call friend. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 11. Proverbs 22 and in verse 11. He said, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The first thing he does is he loves pureness of heart. Pure heart, being real, being sincere, not crooked. When people find out that you are crooked, they leave you alone. Number six, to have and to maintain friends, you must possess a grace-filled lip. Or grace-filled lips. We just read that in Proverbs 22 and in verse 11. He that has pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The grace of his lips. What is that? Your words should minister grace to your hearers. It should minister grace to your loved ones. Minister grace. Minister ease. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. The Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to your hearers. There are those who don't know how to talk except in quarrelsome tones. Some of you who have a high tone of voice, it's good that you become very conscious of it so that someone doesn't think you are shouting at them or quarreling with them with your tone of voice. Good morning, sir. Yes? How are you today? How was your work today? What? What? Instead of saying, pardon me, I didn't hear what you said. What? You will lose people. Grace-filled lips. Words that are soothing, soothing. I've spoken with people on the phone before and they said, what I just heard now healed me. What you just spoke now brought me peace. If you are going to have friends, your words must build up, not tear down. There are men who tore down their wives with their mouth. The woman became a shadow of herself by what the man kept on talking. Useless woman, see your mates. It's not your fault, I'm the one who married you. The person talking like that is not the worst dummy on earth. If you are not the dummy, who made you make the choice? With your two eyes, you saw everybody, you found that one. Your choice is a reflection of your wisdom. It's a total reflection. You confirm your stupidity when you say that you have chosen calamity. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Your words should build, not tear. There are people, the moment they cite their so-called friend, accusation from, I called you 10 times, you did not reply. Is anything wrong? Not knowing that the person was away from the phone. The person may be praying at that time. The words are attack all the time. Your words should lift up, not pull down. You should be a pleasant personality to be around. A pleasant speaker. pleasant voice to listen to. Somebody say amen. How many of you know there are two ways you can say yes, and it means different things? Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. One you are trying to understand, the other one you are trying to quarrel. And there are those who are not trying to quarrel, but that yes is quarrelsome. How many parents tore down their children with their words? Good for nothing. At this age, you are still here. You want to have friends and you want to maintain friends, you must have grace-filled lips. Number seven. To have friends and to maintain friends, you must make a positive difference. Number seven, you must make a positive difference. Add tangible value to the life of those who come in contact with you. Make a positive difference. Add tangible value to the lives of those who come into contact with you. Otherwise, your friendship is just ordinary socialization. Let one word or action from you make you irreplaceable in the lives of people. One word, one action. Let somebody be able to trace what a change in their life to something you did for them or something you said. Let them be able to trace a certain progress. Let them be able to trace a certain success. Let them be able to trace a certain positive action to their relationship with you. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You won't beg people to be your friends if all the time you add value to their lives. You do things for them they can't forget. Someone say amen. Don't waste your lifestyle with only gisting and gossiping people and you call that friendship. When we grew up, young men following the Lord, when you met your friend, the first thing is, how are you, bro? I was able to do 3 hours nonstop this morning in prayer. Wow. I did about 2.5 hours. Then the next question is, have you read the recent book of Oswald J. Smith? The man God uses? What of Leonard Ravenhill? Why Revival Tarries? Have you read the book of Leonard Ravenhill, the one titled Sodom Had No Bible? If Sodom had no Bible and God could judge them, we who have Bible, we have nowhere to hide. Now I'm mentioning books that you are hearing for the first time. Those were the kind of things we were using to sharpen ourselves. That was what real friendship was then. Where your life is shifted forward by an encounter with a friend. Where they gave you a piece of information. We used to read Herald of His Coming in those days. Have you read of Samuel Orengo Brengul of the Salvation Army? So you haven't heard it? You haven't heard his name? Oh, go and read about him. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Those were the kind of things we used to sharpen ourselves. If anybody is not adding anything to your life and you are not adding anything to their life, both of you are wasting each other's time. Every devil in hell is aware that my wife here has massive added value to herself by contact, graces, giftings, impartations, and vice versa. I am a softer person. I had the grace to make you laugh. But at the time of my life, I was frowning almost permanently. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Take your seat. One day we're in a meeting, and I was sitting with a friend, and there was one seat in front. And they came to me and said, "Can you come up? There's a seat in front for you." And I said, "What of this man? Does he have a seat in front?" They said, "No, there is only one seat left." And I said, "Okay, I'm so sorry. I have to sit with him. Please just give that seat to another person." And I sat with him. After a short while, because of what I said, they had to go and create a seat. And he created a second seat, and both of us went together. When we sat down, the man said to me, he said, "What you have done for me today, there is nothing under heaven you will do against me if for any reason that will be an issue to me." That is, I value you so much, I don't want to shine without you. Let's move together. I prophesy tonight, God will give you people and give you to people whose life you will add value to. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. This is very, very powerful. How do you service friendship? To have friends and maintain friends? Number eight, you must avoid the ministry of gossips, whisperers, and sowers of strife. Gossips, whisperers, sowers of strife. Is this person truly your friend? Are you sure? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. He said, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separated chief friends." These two people have been friends since childhood. One devil agent came in between them and scattered them. A whisperer separated chief friends. Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 9. "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separated very friends." There is something that I think this man is doing to you that you are not aware. This kind of people, they have divided asunder brethren, brothers in the church. Brethren that are good to each other. Somebody just steps in, tore them asunder. This kind of people, they have torn asunder husbands and wives. They say something to the wife against the man, and say something to the man against the wife. The exact opposite. These kinds of people, they have scattered families, husband, wife, children at war. This kind of people, friends, people who grew up, they never quarreled. Somebody stepped into their midst. And in case you think that they are very far, they are very, very plenty everywhere. They are in church. If Judas Iscariot can be in church, they are in departments, in ushering, in choir. They are everywhere. Their assignment is, if they see the goodness of your relationship, they are angry. Even among pastors, they exist. Oh, yes. They see the goodness of your relationship, they scatter it. Many years ago, a woman came to, was it a woman? Yes, a woman came to talk to me about my wife. Oh, yes. This is like 26 years ago, at the beginning of the ministry. I came to tell you, you see, your wife this, your wife that. Shut up! I looked at her. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. I said, who are you? My wife, I know. You, I don't know. Between the two of you, who should I believe? If I see that person, I can't recognize the person. That was my first and last, and it disappeared forever. I don't think ministry was even 2 years yet. I don't think the person was even a member. From Joss, she said. Agent of the devil. I'm not trying to report your wife, but this is another case now. But I don't think it's as I wish was the same person like you are. There are people who do that. Yes. I am telling you so that you close your ears against people who want to destroy your valuable relationships. If the people are bad, let them misbehave to your sin. Let God cause them to behave. Let God show it to you himself. And then God will make them behave the behavior that will make you to know them. How many marriages have ended because one stranger came from somewhere to talk to the husband against the wife? Me and your wife were selling the same market in the market. She is a disgrace to you. My wife? Ah, go and ask everybody in the market. Nothing like that. The man is already raking without finding anything out. I don't think this man that you call your friend, he's not your friend though. Somebody is talking to your friend. But I prophesy to you, anybody that is wrong for your life, God will unveil them to you. God will unveil them to you. God will unveil them to you. If you believe that, stay loud, amen. Take your seat. Was that number 7? Wow. Right. At number 9. This will be an odd 9th point. To have and to maintain friends, you must learn to forgive. You must learn to forgive. It has always been said that to err is human. To forgive is divine. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. And when you stand praying, forgive. Verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you walk with people, matching their feet by mistake is very possible. Am I communicating? Have you stamped on somebody's feet before without you didn't mean it? Did they kill you? That is possible. Very, very possible. But that doesn't mean quarrel. Many times, people's intentions, genuine people, their intentions are perfect. The action may be imperfect. The wife may think she's trying to protect her husband by her action, but the action doesn't seem perfect. The woman may think she's trying to pass across an information, but it's appearing quarrelsome. So you must learn to forgive. Forgiveness is background for friendship. Look at the teeth and the tongue. Most times the teeth mistakenly beat the tongue, but they don't divorce from the mouth.
mean,
they don't say, okay, you know what? Tongue, say, let me find where to live. I leave the mouth for you, teeth. And teeth say, you are the one who brought yourself. My position is constant. You are always moving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody receive something here, shout the Lord and say amen. Finally, to have and maintain good friends, you must rely on the help of God. The Bible said a man can receive nothing except if it be given to him from above. If you are going to have anything substantial, lasting, durable, God can give you quality people as gifts into your life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, he said he gave gifts to men. And these gifts now became the gifts of human beings, apostles, quality people to send your way. Somebody say amen. Having said that, let us go to counterfeit friends. How to know counterfeit friends? Friends that are not friends. Call it counterfeit or evil friends. Number one, counterfeit or evil friends betray your trust. And destroy your confidence in them. They betray your trust. They betray your confidence. Judges chapter 14 verse 20. The Bible said, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he has used as his friend. And he agreed. While Samson was going out in courtship, Ashe, his friend, was eyeing the woman. Samson did not know. When there was slight problem, he dived. Won't give you the wife again. What? Here am I, give me. I can be good, just like Samson. Here am I, good, give me. They betray your trust. They betray your confidence. Number two, counterfeit or evil friends divert the loyalty of your loved ones or followership. They divert the loyalty of your loved ones or followership. The person that you introduce your friend to, who is a billionaire, who was trying to do business with you. Next thing you heard was that you are no longer in the business. Next thing you heard is that he's now in business with your friend. That's a counterfeit evil friend. This is still Judges chapter 14 verse 20. I am aware of two brethren many years ago. The brother escorted his friend to visit his fiancée. The shortness of the long story. Your guess is as good as mine. The next thing they knew was the escorter took over the girl from the escortee. Serious crisis. All I said was for him to follow me, escort me to the house of the girl I want to marry. Haven't you heard it before? That somebody marries somebody's best friend.
Somebody else marries, whether man or woman. It's something that this story I'm telling you now, I'm aware of it. I know all the three people involved.
Hallelujah. Those are evil friends. Evil, bad friends. Those are people you must not. Evil friends, bad friends. If it was a pastor's meeting, I would have said more things in this direction. You know, there are some people. I'll leave that for now, for another pastor's meeting. Number three, counterfeit or evil friends divert your inheritance and possession. They deceitfully transfer to themselves what is yours.
Help me transact this land paper. Before you know it, it's gone. Help me deal on this matter. Before you know it, you are just there empty-handed. Judges 14:20. I prophesy to you today, counterfeit and evil friends will never be a part. God will deliver you from them permanently. Number four. Counterfeit or evil friends give destructive and disastrous counsel. The counsel that they give you, the advice they give you, can destroy. If you open your ears and you hear them. That was an evil friend that Samson, that Amnon had. 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse 3. Amnon had an evil friend called Jonadab. He taught him how to rape his sister. The counsel that brings destruction. There are people who have given counsels that led to death. There are those who counsel their friends that broke their homes. This is what my husband does for me. Is your own not doing that for you? What are you waiting for? Number five. Counterfeit or evil friends bring out the worst in you. They bring out the worst of you. They empower and encourage your weakness. Your true friends will bring out the best in you. The counterfeit friends will bring out the worst. That was what Amnon experienced in the hand of Jonadab. 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse 3. If you are the friends of anyone and your life is becoming worse and worse. Spiritual life is drying up and drying up. You can more easily gossip people now. Then you are connected to an evil friend, a counterfeit friend. Number six, counterfeit or evil friends give you the confidence to do wrong. The confidence to do wrong. They embolden you to do evil. They advise you, they encourage you to do what they should advise you against. They encourage you to do what they should advise you against. Something like, have you smoked before? Somebody as matured as you haven't smoked before. In this world, you are still calling yourself a virgin. Well done, Virgin Mary. Smoke, smoke, it won't harm you. One of my friends was encouraging me to smoke 38 years ago in secondary school. I said, I don't know how to do it. He said, just take it and then just do some, bring it through your nose. I didn't know how to do it, so it was totally frustrated. When I gave my life to Christ, he was the first person I went to catch.
He was the first person I went for.
Very rugged, brutal guy. I kneel down.
It's a Christian till tomorrow. Hallelujah.
They embolden you. Number 7. Counterfeit evil friends are glad to explain your failure to others. They are very, very glad.
The same person who encouraged you to do the wrong is explaining to people the disastrous outcome of their counsel.
That was what Jonadab did to Amnon. After Amnon raped Tamar and Absalom killed Amnon, and there was crisis in the house of David, and David began to weep and to cry, Jonadab, who advised Amnon, was the first person to open his mouth to David and say, sir, don't cry. 2 Samuel 13:31. Don't cry. Don't. My son died. You say, I should don't. No. Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their cloths rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons. For Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. 33. Now therefore, let not my lord take this thing to heart. That is, don't cry. Don't cry. It's a small thing. Calm down. King's son died. That is supposed to be your friend. You say he shouldn't take it to heart. That was how good that bad boy was. Don't have a sleepless night over this debt. Don't let it pain you. He was the one who raped somebody's sister, and they killed him for raping somebody's sister. It shouldn't be your concern, king. No matter what, people do bad and they reap the consequence. Meanwhile, he was the one who gave him the advice of what to do. There are people who want to give you disastrous counsel, and they are glad to be alive to explain your calamity. May you never have such people in your life. May you never have such people in your life. May you never have such people in your life. Lift your right and say, Father, I receive total deliverance from evil friends, from counterfeit friends. I receive it now.
Number 8. Evil or counterfeit friends deal treacherously and deceitfully. They deal treacherously. They deal deceitfully. They are cunningly manipulative, deceptive. Treacherously, deceitfully. Cunningly manipulative and deceptive.
You are true to them, but they are not true to you.
You are true to them, but they are not true to you. Lamentation chapter 1, verse 1 all the way to verse 2. Lamentation chapter 1. How does the city sit solitary that was full of people?
How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and prince among the provinces. How is she become tributary? Verse 2, very important. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she had none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies.
Enemy. Evil friends, they deal treacherously. They deal deceptively. They are so manipulative, so cunning.
When you see someone around your life that is so manipulative and so cunning and so treacherous and so deceptive, run for your life.
Number 8. Counterfeit friends, evil friends, organize the hurt, injury, and destruction of their victims. I'm not saying you now, because you are not going to be destroyed. But they organize the hurt, the injury, and the destruction of their victims.
What happened to you? This was the wound I received in the house of my friends. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6.
They organized.
And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
It is one thing to be wounded in the house of your enemy. That's normal. But to be wounded in the house of somebody you call friend?
How many young ladies have experienced terror in the hands of so-called friends? Male friends. Torment.
Number 10.
Counterfeit or evil friends use what they know about you
to conspire with the enemy to bring destruction. They use what they know about you, whatever it is, to conspire with the enemy to bring destruction. May God never allow any such person around your life.
That was what Judas Iscariot did. The knowledge of the fact that he knows where Jesus should be at this time. He knew where Jesus should be praying at this time. In Luke chapter 22, verse 47 to 48, Judas led them there. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Are you looking for Jesus? Follow me. We are so tight. I can embrace him. I can hug him. I can kiss him. That's how close we are. Even I have some of his money in my pocket right now. And he went to it. And I can take you. I know where he will be at this time. This time I know where he is. He will be at the Mountain of Olives now. It's a prayer time for us the evening. And they actually came and met him there. He said, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? It is God who protects also. Because as we live in this world, you don't know who is who. It's not written on anybody's head. Evil friend. Counterfeit friend. Especially this age of communication. All manner of terrible. You thought you are talking to somebody who is recording you. Wicked, wicked hearted entities. But the Bible said, who is he that can harm you? If you be followers of that which is good. One day somebody called me on the phone. And as I was about to answer, my phone immediately said, call being recorded. So I said, what's happening? I have just been informed that you are recording the call. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I just wanted to record the declarations you are going to make on my life, the prayer. I said, really? Without informing me? Without telling me, without my permission?
You will never be a victim of this end-time demonic agenda. You will never be a victim of this end-time demonic agenda. You will never be a victim.
You know what destroyed Judas Iscariot? What is God call it? Samson.
Being close to the wrong person was one issue. But vomiting out the secret of his life, the altar of his relationship with God, the secret that bettered him, was the major matter. That was what the woman carried. If they want to kill you, what can they do to you? You see, there is hair inside my head that has not been cut. You see, all right? I will show you that I will cut it. He didn't say that out. What again? That is friend using what friend said to destroy them.
I was trying to settle a quarrel between a man and his wife some time ago. And the woman, the man was trying to run mad. What is it? He said, what I told myself, my wife in confidence. She didn't ask me. I was the one who told her. She's now using it to insult me. She's now using it to insult me and is telling other people about it. That man, like he will run crazy. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the Lord must, amen. They use what they know to conspire with the enemy. But any devil's agent. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13 is the knockout for this. Who is he that can harm you? If you be followers of that which is good. If you don't mean evil towards anybody, and they try to orchestrate evil against your life, against my life, against our life, against your family, against your destiny, I stand by the mantle of God on this altar. I decree they shall be destroyed. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. Look at your neighbor, say, who can harm you? When you be followers of that which is good, shout the loudest, amen, and take your seat. Number 11. Evil. Counterfeit or evil friends engage you in strife, contention, and competition. And there was strife between Abraham and Lot. Genesis chapter 13, verse 5, all the way to verse 8. They engage you. That's right. And there was strife. They engage you. For some of them, life is a competition. It's contention. It's strife. You try to achieve this, they try to achieve the other. You try to achieve this, they try to achieve the other. And you know such people. When you begin to tell them of your results, they will tell you another thing to balance it. Ah, thank God, last Sunday we had an overflow. Oh yes, our own overflow was 3 times. I'm just using an example that I'm familiar with. My son got 3 A's and 5 B's. Oh, my own was 5 A's. Our own was 5 A's in father. Human beings, eh? Only, in fact, for somebody to have a true friend, God have to deal with people. Yes, and deal with that humanity. Yes, strife, competition, contention. And I'll drop at number 12. Counterfeit or evil friends are sad with your success and glad with your failure. If you announce that you succeeded, you won't see the excitement you expected to see. I just got a visa. You won't see that happiness. I just got an invitation. You won't see that happiness. They instantly begin to think of themselves. So what happened to me? Why didn't I and me be applying too? They are glad. They are sad. When you progress, they are glad when you are stagnated. They are very happy for you to share with them temptations. They are very happy. I don't know what I did to the devil. Witches in my village, they won't leave me alone. Say, sister, don't worry. Don't worry. We will worry together. The devil is a bastard.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. We are here. We are here. I'm here for you.
Sister, just wanted to let you know, praise the Lord. In fact, right now I have three suitors. Firebrand brothers. I am wondering which one to choose now. And I can tell you something else. None of them is poor. How manage? Are you sure? Pray very well. Oh. There are some of these people, they are ritualists too. They also go to church looking for who to marry. When you were sharing problem, they were excited with you. When you begin to share progress, face changed. God deliver you from such people. God deliver you from such people. God deliver you from such people. And God bring the right person into your life. But there are people who are good friends until success arrives. Then they change side. All you need is to just have that heart that when you wish somebody well, wellness multiplies. What you are happy about happens for you. Life is a seed. What you celebrate, you attract. What you antagonize, you repel. Somebody say amen. Somebody say it louder, amen. Finally tonight, what do you do about enemies and even counterfeit friends? What do you do? Number one, decide.
How do you manage enemies? What do you do? Number one, decide and determine
never to be distracted from your focus. Because most of these people are out on assignment to distract your focus. They are on a demonic assignment, some of them like Judas now, to distract your focus. To ensure that you don't reach where God wants you to reach in life. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 to 26. He said, Proverbs 4, 23 to 26. Why is it taking you such long time? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Remove thy foot from evil. These people want to move you out of the way. Here you are facing your road. And somebody say, look at you, K-leg. Dress does not fit yourself. Other people are wearing shoe. Don't wear shoe, wear sandal. And then you leave the road and you go and meet them. Be careful with yourself. Have you ever seen anybody run Olympics? And he's running. And somebody say, oh, see this bad man. You will be the last. You won't take first. And he comes out of the track and says, be careful with yourself. When I finish this race, I'll meet you. And another person say, up you. You are winning, man. And he say, thank you, boy. Thank you. I will come and show you the trophy when I'm finished. What is your diagnosis of that man? He has already failed. There is a time in life where both condemnation and commendation are distractions. Where somebody say you are not doing well and you are paying so much attention, and somebody say you are doing too well and you are paying too much attention, they become distractions. You are headed somewhere in life. That enemy or counterfeit friend, leave him. When you reach where you want to reach, you can answer him later. Number two, decide to dream bigger dreams and see bigger visions for your life and destiny. The more they confront you, the more they consider themselves your enemies. Dream bigger dreams. See bigger visions for your life, for your destiny. Genesis 37, verse 5 to verse 9. And Joseph dreamed a dream. You know the story. When they hated him for his dreams, he dreamed a dream bigger. Decide to dream bigger. Dream bigger dreams. And see bigger visions for your life and your destiny. The reason they consider themselves your enemies is to drop your dream, to dwindle your vision, so that you can narrow down your vision and those human beings become your vision. Number three, decide to dare and do bigger things. Take larger steps. Decide to dare and do bigger things. Take larger steps. If there are things that they think you have achieved in life that is causing them to hate you, dare bigger things. Take larger steps. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 48, when blind Bartimaeus was running after Jesus and the people told him to shut up, the Bible said he cried out the more. That's how to do with the devil and his agents. Bigger things, larger steps, stronger strides. Number four, maintain good distance from your detractors and distractions. Good distance. Hallelujah. Maintain good distance from your detractors and distractors. Good distance from counterfeit friends and friendly enemies. It's called frenemy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 to 30. If your hand offend you, cut, yank it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. Now, I've never seen one person who pluck out his physical eyes or hand because of offense. But that's what Jesus is saying to us, and that is figurative. No matter how close a person is to your life and destiny, if they are trying to hinder your destiny, step off. Step off. Give them space. Give them chance. Give them distance. It's better to walk alone than to walk with the wrong crowd. Am I communicating? There is nothing compulsory in this life. You were not born with anybody. Don't die with anybody. See, there are people who just render their lives useless because a friend or a so-called person is forcing themselves on their lives. Don't give allowance to them in your space. They are not your friends. They are not your enemies. You know them. When they are coming. After you have greeted very well. So how is everything? How is life? How is family? You are doing good. Please give me a few minutes. We'll speak later. No, you don't move like they are enemy. No. Oh, everything okay? Wow. Long time.
Yeah, long time.
Bless you. So, we'll see later.
Don't give ear to what they have to say. Somebody sent me a video clip of somebody preaching garbage and rubbish and all manner of heresies. You say, how can people talk like this? I say, you are the one who have time for rubbish. You are the one who have time for trash. By the time you see the title of the message, trash it. Thank God for technology. He has delete. He has all manner trash. He has all manner. Just, and warn anybody sending you such messages. I don't have time for this. If they send you, keep on sending you. Block the person. Blocking is the same thing as cut off the hand. It's the same thing. It's block. There are people you need to block. And they need to know you block them. They need to know. Hallelujah. And you must tell them the reason why if they care to know. Am I communicating at all? You are the one who have time for trash, for garbage. I don't have 1 second for such mess, for such trash. By the time I see the title, by the time highest 3 or 4 seconds and it is trash, to hell, back to hell. My mind is too loaded with matter to have occupation for garbage. That is number 4, right? Number 5. Decide not to empower your enemies with underperformance or mediocrity. Underperformance, mediocrity. Don't empower them. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1 to 4. When they tried to find what they could use against Daniel, they found nothing. Let those who want you dead be struggling to find what to use against you. Let them struggle. Number 6. This is difficult, but it's possible. Show them kindness where possible. And what are you doing? You are acting as if you are not aware of their atrocities. Behave like that. And we are commanded so. Show them kindness where necessary. Behave as though you are not aware of their atrocious and vexatious behavior. But this is the key. Your kindness to them can be more judgmental than judgmental prayers. Your kindness. Proverbs 25:21. This is what the scripture said. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. So two things are happening when you are kind to them. God is judging them, and God is rewarding you. The very thing they don't want you to become, God is enhancing you to become. While fire is burning on their head. Hello, sir. How is the work? That's the man that sacked you from work. How is work? Fine. Well, I just called you to find out how work is doing. How is the family? Please, my love and regards to everybody. And it will worsen his case if you say, I'm praying for you. You send recharge card to the person who hates you with a passion. You bought a Christmas card. You are fulfilling scriptural injunction. Am I communicating? That thing will do 3 things for you. The first thing it will do for you is to heap coals of fire on their head. Second thing it will do for you, it will cause God to reward and bless you. Third thing it will do for you, it will liberate you from bitterness. So the weight of the bitterness is reducing.
as you are generous towards them, it's reducing.
In so doing, you will heap coals of fire. Your kindness towards those who want you dead can be more disastrous for them.
Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. One of those who hate us with a passion was a major beneficiary of our welfare outreach last month. And he's a major beneficiary very frequently. They come publicly and also come Nicodemously. Receive. Then I told my wife, I said, who is this? Oh, he said, oh, from South South Place. Oh, wow. You're welcome. We are happy. Finally, number 7, pray for them where necessary. Pray for them. I know that what you want to do the most is to pray against them. I'm aware. Pray for them. Now, this is not the category of witches and wizards. This one. Anyone who is a witch and a wizard, when you pray against witches and wizards, that prayer will cover those ones. But these are the ones that see you, they get angry, irritated, agitated. They want you to know they don't like you. Father, I pray for Sister Malice. I am asking, wherever Sister Malice is, Brother Wickedness, help them, Lord, to know you, the true God. Rescue them from hell. Help them to realize that what they are doing is disaster. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible for anybody, except he is Satan? Because Satan knew what he was doing in heaven. And he knew the consequences of it. But apart from anybody who is Satan directly, or who is possessed with the spirit of Satan, is in an exam hall. He knows the right answer and wrote the wrong one. Since you were born, have you heard such a thing? This is the correct answer will make me pass. Let me write the wrong one. To hell with that teacher. He thinks he can instruct me to write what he wants me to write. Write my own. Let me see if you'll give me the wrong mark. That is colorization. Am I communicating? Most people who do some of these things, they don't know the damage they are doing to their destiny. The damage on earth and damage in eternity. They don't know what they are doing to their life, to their generation. Most people who defraud people, cheat people, eat government money, their wealth does not last beyond their generation. Some of them, their children suffer everlasting harassment. If only they knew, they wouldn't have done it. That is one of the basis of our prayer. Let them realize themselves in their lifetime. Help them to realize. Some of them can get one encounter overnight. But when they have made up their mind to go to hell, that prayer is for your salvation. And the same prayer is for their damnation. And when God prayed, and God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Praying for those who hate. Now, I'm sure you know the friends of Job we are talking about. The same people who were busy castigating Job, busy worsening. Job called them physicians of no value. He said miserable counselors. Those are two titles he gave them. Doctors that have no prescription.
That's for all of you. Miserable counselors, those who give you counsel to worsen your misery. That's what Job called them. Yet he prayed for them. And God turned the captivity of those people. Is that what he said? God turned their captivity as Job prayed for them. God changed their story as Job prayed for them. Who was the beneficiary of the prayer? Stand up on your feet. Job was the beneficiary of the prayer. He prayed for those who hurt him. And if those people don't change, their damnation is confirmed. Hallelujah. Pray against all the witches, wizards, occultists, and all of that. But those, you are not sure whether they are witches or wizards. Even though bitterness is the foundation for witchcraft. Yeah, it's elementary witchcraft. But provided they are still in elementary class, we can pray for them. Beloved brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the life of living in the fullness of God's help by knowing who your friends are. By knowing who your friends are. I want to let you know that the best thing God can do for you is to position around your life the right people. And the right people exist. Right wife, right husband, right relationships and friends. And we're going to pray. Father, you will position in my life these right people. Another thing you want you to know, which I have not mentioned. Another way to know those who you cannot call friends are those who are comfortable in the company of your haters. They are comfortable in the company of those who hate you like they want to kill you. Am I communicating? These people talk about you in their presence. These people plan what they want to plan against you in the presence of these people. But they don't see nothing. They are okay. Those are enemies in development. Undercover enemy. There are enemies that are obvious. There are those that are oblivious. Undercover, subterranean enemies. Submarine. Flying under radar. You will never find them ruin your life. Somebody lift up your hands and just give the Lord the praise for what you have heard tonight. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship, the supremacy, dominion, rule, sovereignty. Worship him, honor him, adore him. We are grateful, oh Lord. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, oh Lord. For all you have done for us. Hallelujah. We are grateful. Everybody lift up your hands and thank him for the word tonight three times. We are grateful, Lord.
We are grateful.
Oh.
Grateful,
oh, for all
you have done
for all.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and lift your voice and let's pray.
For all,
for all, two hands and just worship him, honor him, adore him. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Mekadesh, thank you. Keren Yesha, thank you. We worship you, we honor you, we adore you. Be glorified, be honored, be adored. Meste frito site ligaradea da hasada. Leto se perete que siga da galala horatas. Ito se perede a la husadida. Ita se perede gaya la husadana. Leke spere de sina magaya la huratasa. Ita se perete sina gaya la huratos. Yerepete seniga ya la harata satakalala. Eperete sito rene que diga la husata. Exe perenina sotara galala. In the name of Jesus. There are three prayers that I feel will pray for a message such as this. After we have appreciated God for giving us such a word. Three prayers for ourselves and then one for our country. Father, I ask that you make me a true friend. Make me a quality relationship person to everyone in my life. Husband, wife, friends, colleagues, father, son. Everything I said now can be applied to relationship between father and son. I'm trustworthy to my father. He should be able to call me up at any time. I shouldn't be at home in the company of those who want him dead. Everything is applicable. Father, make me a quality relationship person to everyone you have given to my life. A true friend, a quality relationship person to everyone in my life. We'll pray that prayer once. Are you ready for that? Because a man that will have friends must first of all show himself. He must be a friend first. That was Proverbs 18:24. Lift up your hands now and say, Father,
Father,
I ask
that you make me
a true friend.
Make me
a quality
relationship person
to everyone
in my life.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
Father, I ask
that you will make me
a true friend.
You will make me
a quality
relationship person
to everyone
you have placed
in my life.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray.
Equality.